Pastor Ray Bentley launches our study in Genesis with a foundational truth for today's study and our lives.
In the beginning, God. The subject of the first sentence of the Bible is God. He is the subject of nearly every sentence in this first section. So the Bible is first and foremost a divine revelation about God.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Ever had a project get off track? You want to start over, right? What do we sometimes say? Back to the drawing board, right? Well, today we go back to God's drawing board to see how the plan for mankind all began. And as we see how far we've veered from that plan, we'll be even more thankful for our redemption.
All right, let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. And literally, verse 1. By the way, let me begin by saying this happens to be my favorite book of the Bible. So if you are new to Maranatha, welcome to our study of the book of Genesis. It is an exciting book. It is the first of 66 books of the Bible. And 20 years we started in the book of Genesis, not even in this church. It was at the church we had in Rancho Penasquitos. So let me just say this, 20 years from Genesis to Revelation, how long, many people have been asking, will it take for us to go through the Bible this time? I don't know. I have no plan, I have no schedule. But, you know, it's possible that it could even take longer because now I've got so many more things I'm learning and so many more things to share. Surely, one way or another, by the time we get to Revelation, we'll all be in heaven. But anyway. All right, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, tonight, I'm going to do, you know, we're not going to go through any more verses because I kind of got to give an introduction. This is an introduction not only to the book of Genesis, this is an introduction to the entire Bible. And so, a proper introduction is fitting. Genesis is the foundation for everything. And Genesis means, it's actually a Latin word that comes from the Septuagint, and it means beginning or origins. And so this, the book of Genesis, is the ultimate book of beginnings. We find the beginning of the universe first, and then we find the beginning of all life forms, and then the beginning of mankind, and then, unfortunately, the beginning of sin. And the beginning of murder, and the beginning of violence, and the beginning of falling away in rebellion against God. But then, that's not the end of the story. We find the beginning of the great story of redemption. God, who knew all things and knew, you know, the end from the beginning, knew that Adam and Eve would fall. He knew that there would come and break forth a curse, not only upon man, but everything under man's dominion. And thus, before the foundations of the earth were laid, God had established a plan, a story that he would unfold little by little through time and history and through his divine sovereign will, a plan to redeem the whole planet. And by the way, yes, the story of redemption is about Christ and about him coming and dying on the cross for our sins and being buried and risen on the third day and ascending into heaven, and his kingdom is to come, and we're to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And one day that prayer will be realized right here on planet earth, where everything began in perfection, then fell into chaos, and then is redeemed and restored. I love the heart of God. He is the greatest storyteller of all time. And he also is a great lover of mankind and a lover to redeem the earth. But one of the things that really blesses me and encourages me is it's not just about mankind. Man is going to be redeemed and restored as we are made his sons and daughters through faith in Christ. But when Jesus comes, he's going to redeem the planet. He's going to redeem the earth. which means he's going to redeem the waters, the rivers, the mountains, the streams, the fish, every living creature, and every living plant, so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There will be no more carnivorous animals preying one upon the other. It'll go back to the way it was all the way in the beginning. There will be no more deserts or badlands. There'll be no more famines. It is going to be perfect, pristine, beautiful, and glorious. So we find the beginning of the great story of redemption literally begins with one man. It only took one man to blow it and sin in the garden. So also redemption begins with the story of one man. God did not find this man immediately after Adam. There was some time and history that unfolds, as we'll find in the first 11 chapters, that leads to Noah and his sons and their wives and the great flood, where God restarts the earth and its creation. But there is a man named Abraham. And in many ways, while we're going to start here in the first few chapters with creation and creation of Adam and Eve and made in the image of God and all the other beginnings in the garden up on top of the mountain in the Garden of Eden, all of this, the first 11 chapters, is really a prelude to the heart of the story. So I just want to plant that seed in your minds and hearts now. The main character of the book of Genesis, other than God himself, is a man named Abraham. And he comes pretty early in the book of Genesis, and then it's all about Abraham. And we're going to learn from Abraham what the heart of God has always wanted, what he's always been after. And it is through Abraham's example and Abraham's kind of faith that God said, I will not only save the Jewish descendants that will come through you, Abraham, but all the nations of the earth shall be blessed through you. So, the author of the book of Genesis is Moses. And this is actually confirmed in the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, as well as in the New Covenant. In the Old Covenant, 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 12, talks about the first five books of the Bible as the books of Moses. Also, Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 1, it says they read the law of God, which is also described as the book of Moses. So Moses is the author of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And so we believe that with Moses, he was the first one to codify and to write down all the stories that had been taught and passed on orally that go all the way back literally to Adam and Eve and to their son Seth and the generations, passing it on even to Noah, and yes, through Noah and his sons after the flood. But Moses was the first one to take them and to write them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He wrote Genesis through Deuteronomy. And in the New Covenant, New Testament, we find that Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 46, and this is fascinating, Moses wrote about me. Did you know that? Jesus, the Messiah, he it says that Moses was the author of the Pentateuch, it's called, or the Torah is the Hebrew word, the first five books of the Old Testament. But Jesus goes on to say, and Moses, in the first five books of the Old Testament, wrote about me. I don't know if you knew this or not, but we're going to find Jesus in Genesis and in the book of Exodus and in Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. The Messiah is there all the way from the very beginning. In fact, it's really ultimately the revelation of Jesus. That's what the Bible is all about, from the beginning to the very end. And in fact, tonight, something I did not know 20 years ago, because I didn't really know the Hebrew. I knew how to use, Hebrew tools and look up Hebrew words translated into English. But since then, I've learned a little bit more about the Hebrew and about the Hebrew alphabet. And in fact, I've actually put the first sentence of the Bible in Hebrew in your notes. And I want you to note something that's very interesting. There's one word in the Hebrew that's not translated into English. Isn't that interesting? Why is that? Hang with me. Okay, verse 1. In the beginning, God. The subject of the first sentence of the Bible is God. He is the subject of nearly every sentence in this first section. In fact, here's what we will be reading about. And God said, and God created, and God saw, and God divided. That's a very interesting one. And God called, and God made, and God blessed. So the Bible is first and foremost a divine revelation about God. If you're taking notes tonight, you might want to write this down, jot it down. The Bible is not a scientific book, per se. Now here we are in the beginning, and obviously we're going to see the heavens and the earth created, and then on the first day, second day, and we'll talk about the days and the days of creation, and of course in the last 100 plus years, then science comes up, and oh no, does one have to nullify the other? Well, we're not quite there yet, but let me assure you from the very beginning that the latest, greatest, most intelligent understanding that we have of the physical universe through science, there is not one new fact that denies or that is in contradiction to the Word of God. In fact, in many ways, the Bible, of course, is really, as I mentioned, it's the story of the revelation of God. It begins with, you know, how the world got created and why a little bit, but then it begins to focus in upon the line of salvation through the Messiah from Abraham through David and the fulfillment of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So it's primarily not about, you know, science. However, there are insights, especially in how it was laid out. And when you look at the original Hebrew, there are words of theology that in the realm of science, because some of you I know are very smart. You're a lot smarter than I am, with medical backgrounds, science backgrounds, research backgrounds, and you are familiar with a lot of those things. Those who are kind of on the cutting edge know then that science is now to a place where from what we're able to see and observe, there are theories about how the universe works that are not seeable or knowable or observable in a truly scientific fashion, and yet are postulated and explained and described in a language very similar to faith. It's fascinating, but I get ahead of myself. In the beginning, God. The Bible is first and foremost a divine revelation about God. The word, the Hebrew word used for God is Elohim. That's E-L-O-H-I-M. And what's interesting, that's kind of a generic word for God. It's like our word for God or gods. And in fact, it is in Hebrew plural. Elohim means, you know, if you were to literally translate it into English, it would be gods. But it is always and forever in the original language, especially in the Hebrew, translated as God. It's not a contradiction, it's an understanding of the Hebrew language. Elohim, God, and the great Shema of Israel is, and the one thing that differentiated the Jewish people from all the other, you know, nations that surrounded them and the worlds and empires and mythologies that surrounded them, by the way, that nobody in these days believes in anymore. How little gods came and fought and did different wars and battles and, you know, worlds were created and so forth. People used to think and believe in those things, but they no longer do. Why is this so powerful and so prevalent? Because those religions and those myths that were not true faded with time. But with the knowledge of God and the revelation of God that there is one God, that was something that was divinely revealed to the Jewish people. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. But in that very sentence, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the word for God is Elohim. So it should be translated gods. But the whole point of the context of the sentence is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, multiple, is one. God is so great and God is so big that while he is one in essence, there is something plural about his nature. We'll find out in the early chapters and paragraphs of the Bible that can be very challenging to people when, okay, the whole point of the Bible is there's not millions of gods or billions of gods. There's one God, the Creator God, and that he is one. And at the same time, then he says, God says, let us make man after our own image and after our own likeness. One God, and yet he is speaking in a plurality. And how in the world are we to know and to understand this? Well, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as we see this story of redemption, there's an understanding as God reveals himself. He reveals himself to those who search for him and who seek him and who really want to know him. God reveals him in such a way that if you really don't want to know him or don't want to follow him or kind of want to do your own thing, he will remain darkness to you and hidden for your entire life. But for those who look for me and search for me with all of their heart, God said, they will find me. In other words, God says, I'll reveal myself to whom I will reveal myself. And one of the things that God reveals about himself from Genesis through the book of Revelation is that there is God the Father. And then even in the Old Testament, in Psalm 2, God has a son, and he talks about his son, God the Son. And then also we'll find that there is a third personality involved, if you will, called the Holy Spirit. So you have, the idea of a Trinity, though the word Trinity is not in the Bible, the concept of a plurality, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is there. And while this doesn't prove the Trinity, right from the very beginning of the first chapter of the Bible, the concept of the plurality of God and yet the essential unity and oneness of God is right there in the very first words of the book of Genesis. I also want you to note this. The Bible does not set out to prove God. The Bible begins with presuming that God's already here. And that's how it starts. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Either you believe it or you don't believe it. You choose to receive it and follow it, seek it, search it, and find out if that is true or not. But it's interesting that we'll find out about God, who is a free, moral, eternal being, and uses that will. You and I, who are made in his image, also have been given that will. Those who want to know him shall, to see him will, who desire to have a relationship with him can, for the way has been made. And those who do not, will not. And here's what the Bible does give: creation. The very fact of creation from Old Testament to the New Testament gives testimony to the reality of God, that it is more than just minerals and gases and matter. There is something on the supernatural, spiritual level right there in the midst of this physical universe that can be known and perceived about the reality of God. I want to, I put in your notes Psalm 19. This is verses 1 through 4, not 2 through 4, but this is out of the complete Jewish Bible. So it's translated Jewish words into English, modern English language. But here's what it says about creation. Well, let's read this scripture out loud together. The heavens declare the glory of God. The dome of the sky speaks the work of his hands. Every day it utters speech. Every night it reveals knowledge. Without speech, without a word, without their voices being heard, their line goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Isn't that amazing? If you want to know that God is, that he exists, that he is the creator, that he's all powerful, you know what the Bible says you can do? He's not going to prove himself. He just says, I am. He says, and to prove it, look at what I made. Literally, go outside and look up, whether day or night, you don't have to say anything. But the Bible says something, when you look up, whether day or night, something supernaturally is communicated to you that you have to close your eyes to or you have to stop your ears to, because there is something being communicated on a spiritual, supernatural level. You are not just an animal or a being with a body, but that you have a soul inside. Yes, the personality, mind, will, and emotions. But the Bible says there's another level, even beyond the body and the soul. And another scripture that puts it this way, God put eternity into the hearts of men. There is something in you, because you are made in God's image, you were made and meant to live forever. That goes against the laws of nature and evolution. You're here, you die, you become nothing. You become dust and it's over. There's no consciousness left. Why is it that if it's so normal and natural, we resist death and we weep and we grieve and we mourn over it? Because the spirit within us says, no, something is not quite right. I was made for eternity. The heavens declare the glory of God. By the way, when we get to Genesis chapter 12, do you know how and when God started speaking to the one man that would change the course of the world and remove the curse and bring a blessing to the nations of the earth? What was Abraham doing when God spoke to him? It says he was out at night looking up at the stars. As he was out looking up at the stars, God was ministering to him and speaking to him, saying, yeah, look at those stars. Abraham, so shall thy descendants be. That's beautiful. When Paul, now in the New Testament, when the Apostle Paul went to the Roman Empire, and he was sent with the gospel that Jesus, the Messiah, the promised one, would come, beginning with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And he went throughout the Roman world with Barnabas in the very beginning, preaching the good news. He taught the people of the Roman Empire to turn from worthless idols, made up mythologies of gods and goddesses. He said, turn to the living God, the only true God, who made heaven and the earth and the seas and everything that is in them. And that's found in Acts chapter 14, verse 15. Paul the Apostle turned to the Roman world and he said, let go of worthless idols and embrace the living God who made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Well, we're just getting started in our new study of the greatness of our God and the ancient beginnings of creation. Pastor Ray Bentley, launching our studies in Genesis here on Maranatha Radio. Now, you can hear today's message on CD. It's a study called In the Beginning, and we can send it to you for just $7. Contact us and mention the title, In the Beginning. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Genesis on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Some people confuse astronomy, the study of celestial objects, with astrology, a system of divining the future based on the occult. Where one can bring you closer to our spiritual adversary, a study of the heavens can reveal things about God. And you'll find an example of that in Pastor Ray's new book called The Holy Land Key.
We believe the book of Job is the oldest book. And in Job chapter 38, Job is having a conversation where God is speaking to him, and God mentions the Maseroth. When you look it up, is basically the 12 constellations, what we call in Greek the zodiac. Most people think of the zodiac as, oh, astrology, stay away from that. In fact, before astrology came, there was God revealing himself through these 12 pictures. 12 is a number for God. And they point to the story of the gospel. It's fascinating.
Pastor Ray tells you more in the pages of his brand new book, The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. It's far too easy to miss the significant prophetic signs contained in God's creation, in stories of biblical characters, and in the lives and actions of today's Israelis and Palestinians. Well, Pastor Ray helps us unlock the insights, and he brings the puzzle pieces together. Let us send you a copy of The Holy Land Key. It's available in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if God has made an impact on your life through Pastor Ray's teaching, would you let him know? Drop a note in the mail or connect on Twitter. He's at Ray Bentley. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Genesis. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.